Doug Stewart's role changes at SAFE. The FAA is expected to publish a new AD for some GE Turbo fans. And Boeing celebrates a milestone. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 14th, 2011. We got some startling news to end last week. It seems Doug Stewart, the flight instructor who has led SAFE, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, since its inception, and has literally been its public face, handed the board his resignation. Moments later, the board unanimously voted to hire him as SAFE's first executive director, observing that Doug has, quote, the credentials, administrative experience, and industry contacts necessary to successfully fulfill the job requirements, unquote. This is a big step for an organization the size of SAFE, and taking on a paid executive director will require a commitment to recruiting and fundraising. SAFE says it represents nearly 700 of the industry's top aviation educators in 49 states and 9 foreign countries. The organization offers a needs-based mentoring program, as well as a premier CFI liability insurance program, and is leading the Pilot Training Reform Initiative. SAFE is a tax-exempt 501c3 nonprofit corporation. The FAA is expected today to publish an airworthiness directive, which would require the removal of some engine control units from service in some GE CF6 ADC2B series turbofan engines. The issue has been engine flameout or uncommanded engine in-flight shutdowns, specifically in certain weather conditions. The FAA has received reports of at least 10 such incidents. The FAA estimates the total cost to U.S. operators of the required ECU replacements will be $3.4 million. The AD will reportedly be open for comments until January 13, 2012. A helicopter carrying a pilot and four tourists has gone down in a mountainous region of East Molokai after departing from Kahului on the Hawaiian island of Maui. All five people on board died. Authorities say the Eurocopter EC-130 went down Thursday in rugged terrain near an elementary school, according to Fox News. A report in the Honolulu Star-Observer indicates the tourists were from Pennsylvania and Ontario, Canada, and that two of those on board were on their honeymoon. The aircraft was on lease from Nevada Helicopter Leasing LLC, according to David Chevalier, owner of Blue Hawaiian Helicopters, which operated the tour. A witness at the school said the aircraft hit the mountains above the campus, caught fire, and exploded. The island of Molokai is popular with helicopter tour operators because of the ocean scenery and the presence of Hawaii's highest waterfall. Chevalier says his company operates as many as 160,000 tours on all the state's islands each year. Aircell, a provider of in-flight connectivity for business aviation, said Friday that Travel Management Company is installing its GoGoBiz high-speed internet service on all mid-size aircraft in its growing charter fleet. Installations are underway and scheduled for completion in the spring of 2012. The announcement includes 21 firm orders, plus options for as many as 30 systems later. GoGoBiz enables passengers and flight crews to enjoy high-speed internet capabilities above 10,000 feet in the continental U.S. and portions of Alaska, using their own Wi-Fi-enabled laptops, tablets, EFBs, smartphones, or other mobile devices. John Wade, AirCell's executive VP and general manager, observes, quote, we continue to hear that charter aircraft equipped with GoGoBiz fly more than those that aren't, and that when customers search for Lyft, internet-enabled charter aircraft get chosen first. We're pleased to see TMC using GoGoBiz as a strategic tool to continue growing and expanding their company, unquote. Boeing and its workers celebrated a milestone last week. Workers began assembling the 1,000th 777 on Wednesday. The 777-300ER will be delivered to Emirates in Dubai in March. A ceremony to mark the start of production was held in Everett, Washington. Additional employee thank you events will be held as the airplane moves through the 49-day build process. Emirates is the largest 777 customer, with 95 of the type currently in its fleet. Boeing's 1,000th 777 will be the airline's 102nd. Up next on ANN, if you're thinking about joining the rush to experimental amateur-build aircraft, Don't miss the lessons in the story of a guy who put one too many links in his accident chain. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Monday, November 14th. I'm Paul Platt. The NTSB has released a probable cause report for an accident which killed 74-year-old William Clemmy in a Zenith CH-701 he had recently finished building. The pilot held a commercial pilot certificate with airplane single-engine land and instrument airplane ratings. His last medical certificate was a second class issued in March 1991. He was exercising sport pilot privileges, which makes the details of this story potentially relevant to many of our listeners. The pilot's logbook showed 755 total hours as of March 1984, followed by 25 years without flying. Starting in December of 2009, the pilot got 5.4 hours of dual instruction, including a flight review, but that was spread out over the next 5 months. The instructor told the board she was giving the pilot recurrent training in preparation for a flight review so he could exercise sport pilot privileges. She says they flew a Cessna 152 and practiced stalls and landings at high power settings to prepare for what the pilot expected to be the Zenith's low elevator authority at slow airspeed when RPMs are pulled back. Zenith says there's no record the pilot had flown in a CH-701 when he visited the factory. No evidence was found to indicate the pilot had ever flown any CH-701 prior to the accident, except for a taxi test in his own aircraft, which ended in getting it airborne before he was ready, and incurring a prop strike, broken nose gear, and damage to one wing trying to get it back down. According to the probable cause report from the NTSB, the accident occurred on the first intentional test flight from the Iowa Falls Airport in Iowa. After high-speed taxi runs, the pilot took off, observed by his instructor. She says he saw him get into a spin, followed by a recovery, southwest of the airport. The pilot then came back into the pattern and made a radio call that he was going to land. The first try ended in a go-around. On the second try, the instructor heard RPM drop, a wing and the nose went low, and the plane hit the ground. NTSB concludes the pilot failed to maintain adequate airspeed and stalled, and cited his inexperience in type as a contributing factor. There are a couple issues here that cry out. A Cessna 152 is not a CH-701. Lots of other traditional GA trainers are not good prep for flying LSAs in general. Many CFIs won't train in experimentals. This pilot's plane could not legally have been used for instruction yet, because it hadn't completed its Phase 1 test, which is normally 40 hours. In any case, recurrent training at the rate of about 1 hour a month is not a good recipe for getting anything to stick. Situations like this are a big reason EAA and its chapters exist. It is possible to get transition training in an actual CH-701, but you may have to travel to do it. It's also possible to find builders with experience in the type to be a second set of eyes going over the plane, and even perform the first test flight, also an EAA recommendation. But again, you might have to pay to get one to your airport. If your plane gets airborne and is damaged during what are supposed to be taxi tests, consider that a hint you need to find a more qualified test pilot, and make the extra effort to get transition training. There are now more experimentals being finished each year by amateur builders in the U.S. than there are standard category GA aircraft being built in the factories of the world. For value, personal satisfaction, and choices in features, experimentals are hard to beat. But if you go this route, make sure you follow the steps the community has learned the hard way are necessary to fly them safely. And EAA and your local EAA chapter are a great place to start. The NTSB has released a preliminary agenda for a 2-day public aircraft oversight safety forum to be held Wednesday and Thursday, November 30th and December 1st. NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman will chair the forum, and all five board members will participate. The forum is open to all and free to attend. Under what's often called the public use exemption, aircraft may be operated by a federal, state, or local government without oversight from the FAA. Part of the intent is to free law enforcement agencies to use retired military aircraft, which never had civilian airworthiness certificates. The issue for the NTSB is that safety problems which come to light in the operation of public aircraft are not easily remedied through recommendations to the FAA. The goals of the forum, entitled Public Aircraft Oversight Forum, Ensuring Safety for Critical Missions, are to raise awareness of the importance of effective oversight in ensuring the safety of public aircraft operations, identify where the responsibilities lie for that oversight, and to facilitate the sharing of best practices and lessons learned. In a statement released to the media Thursday, Herzman says the board was disappointed to learn 2 weeks ago about internal documents released by Pinnacle Airlines Corp., the parent of Colgan Air, that were not provided to the NTSB during the course of the investigation into the crash of Colgan Air Flight 3407 in 2009 near Buffalo, New York. The board has sent a letter to Pinnacle requesting that the company make available any and all information regarding the training and technical qualifications of the captain and first officer. Herzman acknowledged, quote, "The previously undisclosed documents do not appear to give reason for reconsideration of the NTSB's final report and probable cause determination," unquote. And finally today, it's always hard to know if Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary is serious or whether he's just out to generate some buzz about his low-cost airline. But he's certainly lit a short fuse with last week's announcement that his passengers could soon be able to view porn in flight on mobile devices. O'Leary is quoted in The Sun as comparing the availability of adult movies on a handheld device on an airplane to their availability in hotel rooms. The idea was a heavily featured topic on late-night talk shows last week in the U.S., and now the group Morality in Media, or MIM for short, has issued a news release calling on U.S. citizens and engaging more than 50 European pro-family organizations to contact Ryanair protesting the development of the app. This is viral promotion on a huge scale. The airline wants to extend its service to U.S. destinations and just got millions worth of free exposure before attempting to enter the market. Score one for Mr. O'Leary. Don Hawkins, executive director of MIM, promises, quote, "We will stop this outrage before it gets started. Ryanair is creating an unsafe environment for every individual who travels on their planes," unquote. She says a wealth of research demonstrates that pornography consumption is a leading cause of sexual violence and sexual assault, as well as a significant contributing factor to sex trafficking. She says it's also addictive and a danger to children, who will no doubt be exposed to it if it's allowed on planes. She adds, quote, "Can you imagine how uncomfortable most women passengers and female flight attendants will feel with several men viewing pornography in the small space of an airplane? In an office workplace, this would constitute a clear case of sexual harassment," unquote. O'Leary, for his part, has also proposed pay-per-use lavatories and standing areas on flights, like those on city transit buses and trains. Say what you will about the airline's image, but when all is said and done, when you think cheap, you'll think Ryanair, and the experience will probably exceed the expectation, which is more than most airlines can say today. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's a best of Bob. CFI Bob Miller fears the U.S. lead in general aviation could go the way of our lead in cars and steel. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.